Hey, what's up, everybody? You're listening to the Enterprise Architecture Radio. If you're thinking about organizational complexity and agility, if you're concerned about operational efficiencies and thinking of taking it to the next level, if managing innovation is one of your priorities, you've come to the right place. On this podcast, we talk about all of that and more. It's a jungle out there, and we'll attempt to navigate this jungle of frameworks, methods, and most importantly, enterprise architecture in practice. For the last couple of episodes, I have been talking about enterprise architecture tools. And in the part one, I talked about a few fundamentals, such as deliverables, artifacts, building blocks, and the architecture content framework, and the content meta model, etc. And then in part two, I talked about the enterprise architecture repository, the solutions repository, and the requirements repository, and how these repositories store various artifacts and deliverables in them. And I talked about the meta model and so on and so forth. So now we have a foundation to talk about enterprise architecture tools. I will talk about the guidance that the TOGA framework provides to enterprise architecture tool vendors of how to implement these tools. Of course, there are minor differences between the implementation of various tools, but fundamentally the concept remains the same. So let's take an example. Let's say that you want to create a diagram that represents an actor accessing an application, making an entry into a database. And let's also assume that you're not using an enterprise architecture tool. So what would you do? You'd use some kind of a designer tool like Visio, etc. And you would draw a stickman figure that represents, let's assume, a financial employee or an employee from the finance team that is accessing an application. Let's assume that the application is some HR application like Workday to apply for a leave, etc. And then you will draw a database and you will, you know, represent that the application makes an entry into the employee database. And that's your diagram. Now, let's say that, you know, and that you'll save this diagram and store it somewhere probably, or you'll use that diagram in a document somewhere and then store that document somewhere, etc. Someone else, or perhaps you, in some other project, or perhaps in the same project, are trying to create a matrix that shows the relationship between various applications. So let's say that, you know, you have all the applications on the y-axis and all the applications on the x-axis, and you're trying to show, you know, relationship between the various applications. And one of the applications also happens to be Workday. So you're showing that Workday has a relationship with another application, let's say the benefits application. Let's assume that HR is using a separate application for managing employee benefits. Now, so you've created this relationship between Workday and the benefits application. Now, what does this matrix have to do with that diagram? Although the Workday application exists in the diagram, and it also exists in this matrix, they have nothing to do with each other, right? And that is the problem when you don't have an enterprise architecture tool. You don't have a holistic picture of your entire landscape in all these different diagrams and matrices and catalogs that you are creating. So what TOGAF does is it provides guidance of an enterprise architecture repository, and it provides the concepts of building blocks, artifacts, and deliverables. So how does it work? Let's take the same scenario when you are using an enterprise architecture tool. So again, you create a diagram, you create a stickman figure that represents the actor, and you create a relationship of that actor with an application. The application is Workday. And then you create a relationship of the Workday application with the database. Now, these three components are not just components. They are actually building blocks. The actor or the stickman picture that you've drawn is actually an actor type building block, right? There's a building block type actor. And the application Workday is actually a physical application component that represents the application called Workday. And the database is a data entity that represents the employee database, right? And these three applications are actually stored in the enterprise architecture repository as unique entities. The Workday application is an entity. The actor, finance employee, is an entity. The the database, employee database, is an entity. And they represent something. So every time you want to create a picture where, you know, there is finance employee, you can use the finance employee that you have already created and put in your architecture repository. Now, what happens is when you're creating the matrix, application to application interaction matrix, where you're trying to represent all the applications and where you're trying to show that what is the relationship between all the applications that you have in your landscape. When you create the Workday application, when you write Workday, it's the same Workday application that was there in the diagram. When you try to check in this matrix into your architecture repository, the tool will tell you there is already a building block of type physical application component that is named Workday. Would you like to reuse this building block? And if you say yes, all the properties that you had created in the diagram and stored in the architecture repository will be pulled into the application to application interaction matrix. So Workday is the same Workday that you had checked in from the diagram. And all the properties that were there in the diagram are now pulled into this matrix. You will obviously not be able to see it in all probability because it is a matrix. But the point is that it's the same object. Let's say that you create another diagram somewhere or another catalog somewhere and you update the Workday application. Probably change the application owner or change the description somewhere or what have you. Next time you open this diagram or that Excel, the tool will give you an alert that, depending upon the implementation of the tool, of course, the tool could give you an alert that the object has been refreshed. Would you like to refresh the document? And if you say yes, all the new properties will be pulled from the database into your diagram. So now these building blocks become truly reusable and the updation of the documents becomes automatic. And this is the automation that I've been talking about since part one. Enterprise architecture tools make our job very easy. The thing is that no artifact, whether it's a diagram, catalog, or a matrix, can truly represent the real thing. So an application in the real world is actually the real thing. And a diagram about that application is a representation of that application. It's not the real application, right? And that's the whole point about models. Somebody has so nicely said that all models are wrong. Some of them are useful. The true meaning of that quote is that models are mock representations of the real thing. When you're building a house, the model only represents certain aspects of the house. It doesn't truly represent the house. Similarly, when you're building a model, whether it's a diagram or a catalog or a matrix, it represents whatever it is that you're trying to represent. So none of the artifacts can truly represent the real thing, but all the artifacts put together can create a picture that will show you what the real thing is. And that is the power of enterprise architecture. It allows you to create multiple artifacts, combine all that information into a single enterprise architecture repository, store all that information together, and create insights about your landscape. Let me give you an example about insights. Let's say that I want to create an impact assessment report. I want to create a report that tells me if the Workday application, for example, is impacted with an outage of some sort, what would be the impact to the business? What is the business criticality of that application, right? How many people would be affected, etc., etc.? So visually, an impact assessment report is or could be three circles. At the center of the circle, we put Workday as an application. The first circle is the first level of impact. So all the applications that are dependent on Workday, all the actors that are dependent on Workday, all the business functions that are dependent on Workday are shown in the first inner circle. That is outside the circle in which Workday application is. And then the second circle is all those applications, business functions, actors, databases, etc. that are dependent on those applications, business functions, actors, and databases that are finally dependent on the Workday application. So it shows a trickling down effect. It shows an effect of all the different architectural artifacts or all the different IT components that are dependent on the Workday application. So if the Workday application has an outage, these are the architectural artifacts that are going to be impacted because of it. This is one example of creating an insight using the enterprise architecture data. Now, there are two aspects to enterprise architecture work. One is the drudgery. I call it the drudgery. And other is the strategy, right? Sexy stuff. The drudgery is the collection of all the information. You have to collect information about all the architectural assets or IT assets that are there, all the business functions, all the business processes, all the actors, all the stakeholders, all the etc., etc. Collect all that information in the form of diagrams or catalogs or matrices or so on and so forth, and store it into the architecture repository. So it takes a lot of hard work to collect all this information. And then the other part is the sexy part, which is the strategy work. You know, you take all this information and build insights on top of it. You build reports, you build dashboards, you work with the senior executives, your leadership team, your CEO, CIO type people, and understand what the future strategy for is, you know, what is it that they're trying to do, and show them the impact of how the business is going to respond if we take a certain decision. You know, help them take strategic decisions based on whether it's a financial impact or how much work is required or what systems are going to be impacted or whether or not it's possible, feasible, etc., etc., based on all the information that you've collected. So that is the strategy work. Now, if you have a good enterprise architecture tool, the drudgery is reduced and you can very quickly jump into the strategy work. And one of the core reasons of enterprise architecture programs in various organizations failing is that they are not able to show the return of investment quickly, because the collection of the information about the organization is a tremendous work. You know, you have to put in a lot of effort to collect all that information. But if you have an enterprise architecture tool, a sophisticated, good enterprise architecture tool, then the drudgery is reduced. I'll give you an example. Many of the enterprise architecture tools which are available in the market, COTS products, you know, iServer, for example, from Orbis Software, or Mega, or True, etc., etc., these applications have the capability to hook into your CMDB. A CMDB usually has all the information that you require, or most of the information that you require, all your servers, all your applications, all your, you know, sometimes business functions, depending upon how well you have configured the CMDB, all your network connectivity, all your infrastructure components, all your, you know, sometimes even total cost of ownership, etc., etc. So an enterprise architecture tool, what it does is it hooks into the CMDB API, for example, ServiceNow. It can hook into the ServiceNow API, pull in all the information that it requires on a weekly basis. It can pull in all the servers that we need, all the applications that we need, all the, you know, and so on and so forth, databases that we need, all the operating systems, etc., etc. And it can store it into the enterprise architecture repository. Now, if you ask the tool to create a list of all the, let's say, servers or Windows servers, for example, right, it should be able to go into the enterprise architecture repository and pull out all the information and give you a ready-made catalog of all the Windows servers that you need, right? If you want to create a diagram, for example, right? And if you can go into the enterprise architecture repository, look at all the applications, pull in information like which applications you are working on at this point in time, analyze all the relationships that already exist between those applications, if they do. If they don't, you can create those relationships very quickly. Store all that new information into the repository. So now the CMDB data that we've pulled in into the architecture repository becomes richer by adding manually the relationships that exist in the real world, but not in your architecture repository. So slowly your architecture repository becomes more and more real, right? It becomes more and more closer to the real world relationships. So a good enterprise architecture tool could reduce the drudgery, shorten the period of time that you need to invest in collecting information, and could help you jump into the strategy work quicker and faster. So that's enterprise architecture tools, and that's all the stuff that I can think about enterprise architecture tools at the moment. I hope you have found this episode of Enterprise Architecture Radio useful. I don't believe that these three episodes are going to answer all your questions about enterprise architecture tools. Obviously, you will have to take a look at a tool, and these tools are not, you know, free or cheap or what have you. These sophisticated enterprise architecture tools are quite expensive, and unless your organization decides to invest in one, the probability of you getting your hands on an enterprise architecture tool is unlikely. However, there are a lot of demos available on YouTube. If you do a quick YouTube search on demos of enterprise architecture tools, there is a probability, a high probability, in fact, that you will get to see one. It's a fascinating world, the enterprise architecture tooling, right, specifically, and the way that it helps us in doing enterprise architecture. And I have enjoyed myself working on Orbis Software's iServer. That's the only one that I've worked on, to be very honest. And I hope that you get an opportunity to work on one of the tools. And I hope that you have as much fun as I have. Now, like I said, these three episodes are not going to answer all your questions about enterprise architecture tools. But if you do have questions, and I think that's a good thing. You know, I don't want to answer all your questions because as a very close friend of mine and I discussed many, many years ago, answers are the end. Questions are the beginning. So if you do have questions, Enterprise Architecture Radio is not just a podcast. It is a discussion group. Bring your questions to the discussion group. There is a LinkedIn discussion group. There is a Telegram discussion group. Ask your questions. Share your thoughts. Don't just have to ask questions. Whatever thoughts you have, if you have experience with enterprise architecture tools, then share those. And let's have a healthy discussion. Because once again, it's not a podcast. It's a collaboration forum. It's a group of practicing enterprise architects and IT professionals coming together and talking and learning and guiding, but most importantly, having fun. That's all I have for you today, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. More about organizational agility, innovation, and enterprise architecture in the practical world, in the business, right here on the show. But before I end the show, I want you to help me out with this one little thing. Pause the show and share this podcast via WhatsApp or text message with at least one person who might be interested in the show. It could be anyone, your colleague, your boss, someone in your team. That's all I ask. Just one share with one message via text or WhatsApp or any social media of your choice. And it would go a long way in supporting this podcast and growing this listener base. Also, please don't forget to follow the podcast. That way, you'll get notified when we publish a new episode. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at enterprisearchitectureradio.com. If you have ideas, thoughts, disagreements, please feel free to write to me directly. We also have a Telegram group if you would like to contribute to the EA discussions or what have you. Just search for Enterprise Architecture Radio on Telegram. Or the URL to join the group is https://t.me/EnterpriseArchitectureRadio. While our contact details are there in the show notes, we are very easy to find. Just search for Enterprise Architecture Radio anywhere. Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, even Discord. Once again, I hope you had fun, and I'll see you in the next one.